senators negotiating over a legislative proposal to respond to mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas, will hold a Zoom call Tuesday in hopes of reaching a deal on a basic framework by next week. Senate Majority Leader John Cornyn of Texas has been tasked by Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to negotiate with Democrats. The Hill notes that President Biden Monday expressed some optimism that Cornyn may strike a deal, praising him as a rational policymaker. This is PNS. Higher consumer costs and expired pandemic protections are putting more folks in Minnesota on the brink of losing their homes.
According to this month's Census Household Poll Survey data, 24% of Minnesota adults face the likelihood of eviction or foreclosure. That's up from 18% earlier this spring. In Grant County, Janelle Bennett is with the West Central Minnesota Community Action Office. She says they're seeing more pre-foreclosure notices sent to individuals the office follows up with.
The ones I've received so far have been definitely related to COVID, either losing their job or cutting back on hours and just losing that income.
Her area isn't alone. The Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis recently reported that nearly 10 rural Minnesota counties had foreclosure rates of at least 1%. The Minnesota Homeownership Center says through their website, those behind can look over a network of nonprofits and community organizations that have advisors who provide free counseling. I'm Mike Moen.
And there's $1 trillion in the philanthropy sector, but only a small amount of that money goes toward closing racial disparities across the nation. More now from Eric Tegedoff.
Author of the book Decolonizing Wealth, Edgar Villanueva, says the sector should rethink how it gives. He says less than a tenth of philanthropic giving goes to nonprofit organizations led by Black, Indigenous, or people of color, working specifically on issues of racial or social equity.
We are still kind of thinking of philanthropy and giving in an old-fashioned way that is really about charity and putting a band-aid on issues versus funding organizations who are on the front lines of pushing for more transformative change in our communities and especially around issues of racial justice.
Finally, Lily Volke tells us conservationists in the northern Appalachian Acadian region are changing how they think about forest protection and management.
Five regional partners, including Wildlands Network and Two Countries, One Forest, held a conference outlining a shared vision, Future Forests Reimagined, and now they're working to apply it. Megan DeGraff with Forest International says it's important to work across state and national boundaries. This forest region covers the territory of the Wabanaki Confederacy, stretching across northern New England and into the maritime provinces of Canada.
The forest type here is unique and also fairly imperiled. There are the twin crises of biodiversity loss and climate change that go hand in hand. And one of the biggest but less seen crises is that of overlooking Indigenous contributions and Indigenous knowledge.
Sponsors of Future Forest Reimagined include the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society and the University of Vermont's Gund Institute for the Environment and Leadership. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Weather. It's a real June heat wave. We begin the month of June with blazing sunshine, and on the humid side as well, highs in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy and not as warm. It's still going to be a warm night. Lows in there, 70 degrees. Then gradually less humid on Wednesday. There is a chance of a shower, even a thunderstorm, during the afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny, highs near 80. Thursday, only in the mid and upper 70s, and mostly sunny skies. Friday, mostly sunny skies, low humidity, and highs 75 to 80. Looks like a nice weekend as well. For AM 1700, WRZR, this is meteorologist Mark Hannock.
Up-to-the-minute weather information is always available on the WRCR website. Day or night, when you want the weather, check our website at WRCR.com.
Teplitz Metal Recycling Center has been a sponsor of local radio in Rockland County for nearly 50 years. And they were one of the original sponsors of WRCR when we went on the air back in 2001. Why? Because Teplitz believes that local radio is still the most effective medium for local residents to communicate with each other and their elected officials, to share opinions. with the objective of keeping Rockland a great place to live now and for generations to come. And for this, we sincerely thank the Teplitz family. And if you have metal products ranging from vehicles to scrap metals around the house or business, call 845-623-0040 for cash on the spot. That's 623-0040. Teplitz is at 108 West Nyack Road in Nanuet. Be sure to listen to the Business and Market Update with Ken Mahoney of Mahoney Asset Management every Monday through Friday morning at 8:30 here on WRCR. Catch Ken's incisive commentary on business and market trends during the upcoming trading day. And you can have your business-related question answered directly by Ken Mahoney. Just submit it to the Mahoney Mailbag. Go to the website at MahoneyGPS.com, enter your question or comment, and it will be answered directly by Ken on the radio every Monday through Friday morning at 8:30, right here on WRCR, AM 1700, Radio Unscripted, or WRCR.com.
The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to Faith Unscripted, a weekly program devoted to all things spiritual. Faith Unscripted, hosted by the Reverend Richard Hasselbeck, pastor of the historic Clarkstown Reformed Church, located at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. You, your family, and friends are cordially invited to worship every Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Rich loves to hear from his listeners, so if you'd like to call, please do. The number 845-429-1700. That number again, 845-429-1700. And on behalf of our listeners here in Rockland County, coast to coast in the 48 contiguous United States and around the world, good morning, Pastor Rich.
Good morning, Vince. Thank you very much. And a tip of the hat to our podcast listeners as far away as Delhi, India. So we're heard not only across the continental United States, as you mentioned. Our podcast is received in Ireland and England, the United Kingdom, Switzerland. We have listeners in Greece as well. And most recently, we've seen a few people pop up listening to us in India, the great subcontinent. So welcome to all of our listeners in Rockland County and around the world. And thanks for being with us for another episode of Faith Unscripted, the show that wouldn't be the same without your questions. So please feel free to give us a call about any issues, questions, thoughts, concerns that you have about spirituality. Our number is
1-845-429-1700. That number again, 845-429-1700.
And please give us a call. We love to hear from you. And the first thing I'd like to talk about, Vince, is Memorial Day. Mm. Because while Memorial Day is a national holiday, in a way it's one of those national holidays that touches on the spiritual and the religious. Mm-hmm. Because Memorial Day is the day we set aside to remember those who, in Lincoln's words, gave their last full measure of devotion in defense of this country, of our country. And so it's important for us to remember them. As much as folks enjoy the Memorial Day weekend being the first long weekend, the beginning of summer, a day for picnics and barbecues and for heading out to the store for sales, Memorial Day is primarily a very somber day. It's a day to remember those who have died in the service of the country. And that means not only the people who have died most recently, and we have loads of them, right? We have the most recent ones I can think of are the folks who died in Afghanistan. Yes. During the pullout. There were, yes, you know, Marines and men and women, all of them young, all of them with families and loved ones, and all of them gave their lives in the service of their country.
In the line of duty.
In the line of duty.
Yes.
But it's a time to remember those who were lost more remotely in Iraq, in Afghanistan, through that whole long conflict, in the Near East, in Korea, yeah, in Vietnam, in the World Wars, in the Civil War, and in the Revolution and the War of 1812, and the other wars that that our nation has fought. And to remember that, for the most part, the people who gave their lives were not the generals. They certainly weren't the politicians. They were the kids who signed up or were drafted to fight wars that other people declared. And in the course of those wars, they lost their lives. And with those lives were lost. The entire future of whoever they might have fathered or mothered. You know, there's a whole, as I mentioned frequently, a beautiful Jewish proverb, to save one life is to save the world. And when one life is lost, in a way, a world is lost. And so it is so appropriate that we remember those who have given their lives. And when we remember, the word remember is formed by, it's to remember someone, to in a certain sense make them present to us again. And that's easier if you have pictures of grandpa in uniform or something like that. But it's important to remember all of those young men who died in the Civil War to keep this nation one, who died in the Civil War to end slavery. And let's not forget that. Let's not forget all of the young white men who died alongside some fighting black men. They weren't using their white privilege. They were using their human decency. And they were fighting against the institution of slavery. The United States of America is only the fourth country in the world to have abolished slavery. And those privates and sergeants who fought at Gettysburg and who fought in the Wilderness Campaign and who died in great agony, some of them, because there was no antiseptic. There was no anesthesia.
There was no penicillin.
There was no penicillin. But they did all that in the service of their country to keep the country together and to end slavery.
The citizen soldier.
The citizen soldier, that's okay. Right. And so let's remember them. And let's not stop remembering them because the weekend is over and we've all gone through our coming home traffic jams and we're back in the normal routine of our lives. Let's keep remembering with gratitude the people who have died so that we might have the nice life that we have in this country today. Because without them, who knows what this nation would be like. But along with that, I just like to remember, and I think it was one of those German guys, Clausewitz or Bismarck, I forget which one, who said, "War is diplomacy by other means."
That was Bismarck.
Was that Bismarck?
After he's done planting the forest.
Yes. So war, just think about that. War is diplomacy by other means. What lousy diplomacy that must be, right? When the diplomats send your sons and your daughters to war for their issues. So as we remember the people who died, let's remember how useless war often is. Because I can't think of one war in my lifetime that was really worth American lives and treasure. Yes, it was diplomacy by other means. Yes, our so-called leaders sent armies into conflict because of reasons that they declared to be acts of war. But we learn only later, for example, that the escalation in Vietnam caused by the Gulf of Tonkin attack on the U.S. Navy vessel that was sailing in that region, it was completely made up. It was a fraud concocted to create an excuse for war, for more war. So all I'm saying and all I'm suggesting is that as we remember all those precious lives that have been lost, let's also remember how we have been lied to by political leaders who like to get us involved in wars for reasons of their own. Wars can be very profitable if you're in the right investments, you know. And I'm not saying all wars are like that, but and certainly the Civil War wasn't. Certainly World War II wasn't. But Vietnam, I'm sorry. Those lives were lost, and they were precious lives. And we should remember them with love and with honor. But they were not following the orders of honorable people. At least not in my opinion. So Memorial Day is a time to be somber, to look back, to remember our loved ones, to remember our heroes, and to remember them fondly enough so that we will take action in our world today to ensure that we are not led by the nose into other worthless conflicts. War settles very little. Changes very little. At least it changes very little for the better. And that is my Memorial Day reflection. But if anybody has any thoughts about that, please give us a call and we can talk about it because it's an important day. And I know it's especially an important day for people whose loved ones were lost. We have a woman in our congregation who has a picture of the grandfather she never met and his decorations. He died before she was born. I think while her father was very, very small. And she still remembers him with love because of who he was and because of the life that he gave to her father who then passed that life on to her. So important to remember our place in the chain of life and how important those men and women who we remember have been to their families, their friends, and their loved ones. So please give us a call if you're thinking Memorial Day thoughts. And if not, I am going to go on to the next thing I think I'd like to talk about, which is that if you are one of our Catholic or Orthodox friends listening to us, today is the Feast of the Visitation. You know what Vince, you know what the Feast of the Visitation is?
They tried to beat it into me, but I forgot.
The Visitation is, you'll find a description of it in the Gospel of Luke. In the first chapter, I think, let me look. Yes, the first chapter starting with verse 39. The first two chapters of Luke tell the infancy story of Jesus. And that story starts pretty much with the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist being announced to his father, Zacharias, and then Mary getting an announcement that she will be the mother of Christ. And that the angel Gabriel comes to her. He says, "Hail Mary, you're full of grace. The Lord is with you." It's the source of the prayer, the Hail Mary prayer that is so precious to many of our Catholic and Orthodox listeners, and many others. I say it regularly myself, or pray it regularly myself. And then the angel Gabriel says, "You're going to give birth to a son, and the son will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God himself will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." That's directly from Luke 33. And Mary's very puzzled by what the angel has told her. She doesn't doubt the angel, but she doesn't know how it's going to happen. So the angel explains. He said, "The power, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then he goes on Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now her sixth month for she who was called barren. With God, nothing is impossible. And then Mary says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. That is Mary's yes to God's invitation. That is Mary saying, yes, I will do what you ask. I don't understand it. Keep in mind, Mary is not the same woman you see with the blue and white drapes on lawns in little half shells. Mary, the Mary who's getting this announcement is between 12 and 14 years old. She is a baby. But she comes from a faithful Jewish family, and she, like her parents, are expecting the Messiah. And now she's getting this news that she will be the mother of the one who will be the King of Israel and whose kingdom will have no end. And to this she says, yes. 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 And the angel says, you know, just as not a throwaway, but by the way, you should know if you think I'm if you need any proof at all, your kinswoman Elizabeth, your cousin, probably an older cousin, so in her old age has conceived, unheard of. She was thought, Elizabeth, the cousin, was thought to be barren, and the angel says she's conceived a son, for nothing is impossible with God. With God, the barren are fruitful. With God, the young hear great news. And the trick is being faithful and trusting that God can do everything, because nothing is impossible for God. So that's the backstory to the visitation, because we're not there yet. The visitation is what happens when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And again, I want you to see the picture as it played out in their lives at that time. Elizabeth probably is, you know, recently menopausal, maybe early 50s. When does menopause strike women?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I'm sorry. So early 50s, and Mary is a kid, 12, 14. So she goes to be with her cousin to help her. Now, going to be with someone is not easy in these days. It's not like jumping into your car and driving across town. This is hopping on your donkey if you have one, or walking if you don't. Sometimes a great distance, even between contiguous towns. You know, so if somebody had to walk between, you know, say, West Nyack and New City, it's a walk I'd think about, especially in hot weather.
Decent walk, yeah.
Yeah. So what happens in the Gospel of Luke, as we hear it, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So this isn't just between New City and West Nyack. This is off to the hill country. This is, you know, walking up to the Catskills. And after she has made this trip, and she enters Elizabeth's house and greets Elizabeth, And we read on that when it happened, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." There you've got the rest of the Hail Mary. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So there's a humility here in this culture where age is valued and not demeaned. And this teenager walks into her older cousin's home, the Elizabeth, we're told, is filled with the Holy Spirit and realizes that she is in the presence of the unborn Messiah because the Holy Spirit has spoken in her heart. And she says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit you're about to bear. And who am I, Elizabeth goes on to say, that the mother of my Lord should come to me.
By the way, Pastor, we do have a caller on the air. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shalom Aleichem. Pastor Rich, it's Father Clem.
Father Clem, how are you?
I'm great. Listen, sorry to, you know, take you off of your topic and your what you're talking about, but I really wanted to pose this question for you. It's been disturbing me the past few years, and I really want to get your feedback on this because you're a man who's well-versed. So I used to own an ice cream store, Sweet Pete's, in Congers, and every year, Memorial Day, the Memorial Day parade brought thousands of people to line the roads, and it was our best day of business. And my wife used to tell me that this is nothing. This is nothing compared to what it used to be. We used to have carnival rides and all this other stuff after the parade. So for about 4 or 5 years, you know, 8 years we had our ice cream store, I noticed the last 4 or 5 years the parade had dwindled down. You know, less people marching. And the last few years that I don't have my ice cream store, I've been a participant marching. And again, realizing that the roads are not lined with those people waving American flags and wearing red, white, and blue. And I have a friend who lives in Emerson, New Jersey, another friend who lives in Philly, and we talked about this, and they said the same thing. They took their families to parades, and the parades are just dwindling down. My question is this. Do you think it's like the lack of love for America or the lack of respect for those that have given their lives, that where people can't come out for a simple hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it may be, to come out and commemorate a somber day, but a beautiful weekend because everybody's off, you know, for the 3 or 4 days. And you would think that the least they could do is pay respect by going to some parade and just acknowledging the fact that we are here for the men and women that have given their lives and celebrating the greatness of America. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts, Pastor Rich? Again, I'm sorry to take you off topic, but no. I just wanted to hear your thoughts. And you don't have to spend too much time on this.
No, thanks, Clem, for the call. And it's always good to hear your voice. Had I only known you when you had your ice cream store, I would have been a regular patron.
Yes, absolutely.
And you would have made a lot of money. I think there's a song, an old song. It's Remember. And the last verse is, you told me that you'd forget me not, but you forgot to remember. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of our festal celebrations, if you want to call it that. We forget the reason we celebrate. So Memorial Day, oh yeah, let's go to the beach. Hot dogs, picnics, cheeseburgers, nothing wrong with any of that. But the day is a somber day. It used to be called, I think, Decoration Day, when people would go to the graves of their lost loved ones and decorate them with flowers. And now we've forgotten the reason for the day. So in addition to remembering our lost loved ones, we have to remember why we have a Memorial Day at all. Who are we remembering? It's not remembering it's the beginning of summer. It's remembering people who were lost. It's having a sense of gratitude. But perhaps you're right that we are losing as a culture a sense of cohesiveness. So we don't think of these people as our heroes. We think of them as historical people of the past who were in other conflicts. And we forget to remember that we owe them a debt of gratitude. that whether or not the conflict was worth fighting, they fought it for their country. And they in some instances had no choice. You know, I remember the Vietnam era. They were, you know, drafting all sorts of people into the army who were saying, "Oh my God, what bad luck I have! I got drafted." And then, you know, in no time at all, they were in a country they months before couldn't have found on a map. You know, shooting at people they didn't dislike necessarily, but it was. They were drawn into the vortex of world conflict, and that conflict was not a particularly worthy one, for at least for the United States, in my opinion. Not to say that the guys who fought there weren't brave, heroic, wonderful people, and they did a service to their country. I don't think their country necessarily did a service to them in that instance. But having said that, we need to remember. We need to be grateful. We need to act like we're a people and not like we're a bunch of little interest groups. Because the people who gave their lives in these conflicts, they weren't black and white. I mean, they didn't think of themselves as what they were is they were human beings with, you know, when you get beneath the skin, they all have red blood and it bleeds. And they all have the same set of organs. And they put their lives on the line. So for something bigger than themselves, and they perceived the conflict to be a decent one. In Vietnam, I suppose you could say it was the policy of containment, and we can't let the communists go any further in Asia. And you know, maybe that was true, maybe it's not. It didn't compel me, but because I didn't see the integrity. And what did we win there? Nothing. The same thing with Afghanistan. I think initially, you know, making a statement about 9/11, probably a good thing, but 10, 12, 15, whatever it was, years of it? I mean, come on. But still, these people were there. They were trying to do something good in the world, and they trusted in the leaders of our nation, and we should give them thanks for that.
You know, absolutely.
It's one thing to join the army or any of the services when, you know, nobody's shooting in anger, but when there's a hot war on, you know that you are risking your life. That this could be the end, and these people are very brave and very heroic, and I think we do them a disservice and we do the nation a disservice if we turn Memorial Day into a picnic. And forget that we should honor them, yeah, with parades and with prayer services and with all sorts of celebrations that remember their gift of that last full measure of devotion. I think Lincoln got it right in his Gettysburg Address. Gettysburg Address, and I suspect many people do not know this, was given as Lincoln dedicated a portion of Gettysburg as a national cemetery for the fallen of the Civil War. And he said, we can't dedicate this. Because our dedication of the cemetery is a pale image of the dedication that they have made by giving their lives. And I think when we come up to a day like Memorial Day, that's what we have to give thanks for.
Great. Thank you, Pastor Rich. I appreciate you. Always love the show. And you guys have a great, blessed day.
Thank you, Clem. You Amen. Too. God bless.
Take care, Clem.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yes.
Absolutely right. Also would help if... the country's history was taught.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, better. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And we do have a caller on the air, Pastor. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Hi, Pastor Rich. It's Franny.
Franny, how are you?
Okay. I'm never up this early, but today I was, and I heard Will. It was so good hearing him and everything.
Yes.
You know, so I hope your Memorial Day was good. I was quiet. We were here. But What you were talking is correct. Everything they should do for the veterans, and I myself, I'm always patriotic. We decorate and everything. I think I told you every holiday I do, you know, and to celebrate because they're very they risk their lives and everything.
Oh yes,
for there, people.
There's a home on Strawtown Road near, not just maybe a block or two from the 1840 house.
Oh, okay.
And the people there always decorate for every. They're wonderful. I mean, for Easter, for Christmas, for Memorial Day, for every festive day that comes up.
That's
they
what
have,
I
they have
do
beautiful
too.
Decorations. Yeah,
I do that all the time. Every single holiday,
and those,
I also do.
And
I
those decorations. And those decorations become a reminder for others of what we celebrate. So, I mean, it's easy to forget the purpose of a day like Memorial Day if we're not reminded by our neighbors. And one of the ways to be reminded is to have those decorations out. So thanks for doing that.
And people, you know, we all wear patriotic shirts for Memorial, July 4th, Labor Day. Nobody at all. I think that's awful. You know, they can't even put on a nice shirt for the holiday. You know.
Well, I did.
We did too. We all do. Yes. You know, I always wear one for July 4th, Labor Day. Well, the same thing, you know. But I always have something on patriotic for the holidays and St. Patty's. I wear green. even though I'm not Irish, I'm Scottish.
That's
so,
okay. Everybody's
right.
Irish on St. Patrick's
right,
Day.
Right, that's right. Right, that's it. It's yes. Okay, so I'll let
Gracie,
you go.
Thanks for calling. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too,
okay.
Pastor Rich. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye. What I'd like to do now is play a song by Ava, our wonderful Ava Aston, who sings almost every Sunday at Clarkstown Reformed Church. Where's that church located, Vince?
At 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. Services every Sunday morning at 10:30.
So if you have no place else to go, we'd love to see you. But anyhow, here's Ava. Now, Ava will be singing the national anthem at the Boulders game on July 3rd. So if you would like tickets to the Boulders game, I have a bunch of them, and I will be glad to share them with our radio listeners. So give a call, but first, here's the voice that you can hear at Boulder Stadium on July 3rd is about to sing How Great Thou Art.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder. Thy path throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how
There she is, the lovely Ava Aston, singing How Great Thou Art at our Clarkstown Reformed Church service a few weeks ago, accompanied on the piano by the equally great Richard Siegel, who was also a gifted singer himself. So thanks, Rich and Ava. And remember, the Boulders will be graced by that voice on July 3rd. The July 3rd game should be a lot of fun. If you'd like to join the Clarkstown Reformed Church crew, I have oodles of tickets. And oodles is not it's a definite number, but it's...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I have 70 is actually the number. And I will be giving away tickets every week until the blessed event itself. Now, if you come with the Clarkstown crew, we just don't bring you to a ball game. We also invite you to our tailgate, and our John Palumbo, who, if you knew him, would know that he takes his food seriously. He is hosting the tailgate, and we will have hot dogs, hamburgers, sausage and peppers, and other assorted good things, along with potato salad, coleslaw, stuff like that. And he'll start in the parking lot around 3:30, and come any time. The game starts at 6:00. Everybody who comes with us will get a hat if they show their ticket to the nice people in the store. What do you call it? The baseball paraphernalia store. It's not the technical term, but you get what I mean. And then after the game, there will be fireworks because this is also another festal day in America. This is a festal weekend. This is the 4th of July weekend. What do we celebrate on the 4th of July? We celebrate independence. We celebrate freedom. We celebrate a group of founding fathers who took their lives in their hands by opposing the greatest, most powerful nation on earth at the time, with the biggest army, the best navy, and all because they believed that they should not be living under a king, that the people were sovereigns, and that liberty was the will of God and the gift of God to all people. And they wanted that gift more than they wanted life itself. Another day when we celebrate heroes. So After the game, there will be fireworks, which is a traditional way of remembering the 4th of July. And we would love to have you with us if you'd like to give us a call. So the number again is
1-845-429-1700.
You can scratch the first one on that, though, right?
It's all right. 845-429-1700.
There you go. I would be calling myself, except I have the tickets. Another thing I'd like to just remind everybody about in the last few minutes, last, I guess, 10 minutes of the show, is that this Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost is the celebration in Christianity where we remember the descent of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit being one of the three members of the Blessed Trinity who together form the triune one God. And I can explain that sometime if you'd like. But the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles and disciples in Jerusalem, giving them the gifts that were promised by Jesus before he ascended into heaven, and that was the feast we celebrated last Thursday. So Pentecost is an important, one of the great important Christian feasts, but we are also coming up on the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, also called the Feast of First Fruits, or Shavuot. And it's initially, Rabbi Curlander, one of my rabbi friends out there, if you want to call in and explain Shavuot better than I do, you're welcome to do it. But initially, it was a harvest festival, celebrating the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So the first fruits of that harvest would be brought to the temple and offered to God. But the day evolved into, it's also called the Feast of Weeks, a remembrance of the giving of the law. So it's a very important feast because the law is central to Judaism. The law does not constrain. The law of God does not constrain. The law frees. The law sets you free. Doing the will of God is a joy and a blessing, not a burden and a curse. So it's a joyful remembrance for our Jewish brothers and sisters of the giving of the law. Flashback to the Christian Feast of Pentecost. And that feast is also, in essence, a feast where we celebrate the first fruits of the New Covenant. So these first disciples are given gifts of the Spirit, given gifts of wisdom and courage and fortitude and knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. They're the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel: your young men will dream dreams, your old men will have visions. So it also celebrates the new law, so that as Moses is the giver of the Torah, so Jesus is the giver of the new law of love. Love your God with all your heart and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. So the law of love is the law Jesus gives. It is not in contradiction of the Torah. I want to make that perfectly clear. Jesus says that these laws sum up the law and the prophets. So when the Christian embraces the law that Jesus gives us, we don't reject Torah law. We embrace it. We honor it. And with our Jewish brothers and sisters, we can rejoice in the giving of the Torah just as we rejoice in the descent of the Spirit on the disciples, and by extension, the descent of the Spirit upon us, because the disciples really are not standalone people. They are there as symbols of the church. And the church is not an institution. Don't think of the Vatican. Don't think of Clark Center Reformed Church as a building. The church is the people of God. The church is you. The church is me. The church is us together as we come together to worship and give thanks. And the Spirit falls on that group. And what does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives us the gifts of understanding. Jesus said, the Spirit will come and will teach you all things. Now keep that in mind, because the Spirit continues to teach us all things, which means there's more to learn. That we don't know it all. We don't have it all wrapped up in a package. The Spirit is constantly pulling us beyond our comfort zones into places where we need to go, into ideas we need to think, and into positions we need to take. So of all people, Christians who are in the Spirit cannot afford to be arrogant. What we can't afford not to be is Spirit-led and Spirit-driven. So when we are in prayer, when we are in communication with God through our reading of the Scriptures, then the Spirit will open our mind and guide us and show us the way. And that's what we need to listen to. To listen to that still, small voice, to borrow a phrase from the second book of Kings, to listen to that still, small voice, we must attune our ears. And that's what a life in the Spirit, and that's what a life of prayer is all about. It's about being ready to hear the Spirit when the Spirit calls. It's also recognizing that the Spirit gives the gift of courage. You know, it takes no courage at all to stand up for things that are popular. None. In a way, it's pandering to the world. When the Spirit gives Christians the courage to stand up against what is popular. When the world says, "Hey, if it feels good, do it," the Spirit says, "Nah, no. If it feels right, do it. Not if it feels good." The world says, get all you can get for yourself. And the Spirit says, give all you can give of yourself. And so we are challenged to stand up against the conventional wisdom of our time or any time. When the world says, hey, you know, abortion is a good thing. It's freedom for women. Christians say, no, it's not. It's death to an unborn child. And it's a hideous and terrible thing. Not that people who have had abortions are hideous or terrible people. They're not. They are people that God loves and forgives and continues to invite into the mystery of his love. But abortion, the act, is evil. The world may be saying, let's go to war. Ah, those damn Russians. Let's go after them. Let's fight. And the Spirit says, no, put away your swords. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. So isn't there a better way to resolve conflict? And when you must defend yourself, that's one thing. But going willy-nilly into a war that's none of your business? Sorry. That's just the waste of good life. So stand up for that. But it's not popular, right? It's popular to have all our Ukrainian flags out there and be... although I don't hear that much about Ukraine anymore, so it must be moving off the agenda of the...
It's no longer convenient for those who refract the news to agenda-driven prisms.
Yes.
To indoctrinate the masses.
Well, and Vince brings up a good point. Is not everything we hear as truth is truth. The Spirit, Jesus tells us, is the Spirit of truth who teaches all things. And if we're to be Spirit-driven, we can't just believe things. We have to study. We have to do a deep dive. We have to know what we're hearing is, in fact, reality. And finally, we have to believe that there is truth to be found. Not just narrative. That there are things that are good, even if they're unpopular, things that are bad, even if they're very popular. And we need to stand up and be counted on those things. I think we have a call. It might be a little late in the show for it, but...
Well... If that...
Was that us?
Yeah. There's 1 minute left.
We ask the caller, welcome to the show, but please be succinct. We are coming up to the end of the program. Hello, caller.
Hi, Pastor Rich. Hi, Vince. It's Diane.
Hey, Diane. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. I was definitely listening to the last couple of sentences about truth and digging into what... They told me to be brief. But anyway, I just wanted to say that was...
We only have a minute. Or we had a minute.
I was very, very happy with what you guys were talking about. It was very resonating with me.
Oh, thank you. How come?
Because we have, like when it comes to Ukraine, I was telling people over the weekend that, you know, we weren't paying attention to what was happening in Ukraine over the last 8 years. And honestly, there was a lot of things happening to the people in Ukraine over the last 8 years. And now we're paying attention. Something, you know, just doesn't smell right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important for us to look into what we're being told, because we are in an age when spin and propaganda is very common, and we have to be very careful.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to thank you, and I'm glad I was listening.
Thank you. God bless you.
Diane, great to hear from you. Good to hear from all of our listeners. We thank you and look forward to seeing you, rather, taking your calls again next Tuesday morning here on WRCR.
AM 1700 WRCR Haverstraw.
Want to see the faces that go with the voices on WRCR Radio? Then like us on Facebook.
Facebook? I hate Facebook and all that social media. People don't know how to communicate anymore.